Psychologists have been studying and cataloging microaggressions for more than a decade now, but the term is only beginning to enter the public lexicon.
It's more of a modern form of racism, modern form of prejudice and discrimination. The difference, however, is in most cases it's a lot more subtle. It's much harder to pinpoint. It's not so clear-cut as it used to be in the older days when it was very clear who was being very biased or prejudiced, and nowadays it's not as easy to see.
Dr. Marco Lopez is a licensed psychologist with Santa Rosa Community Health Centers.
It's very covert, things that people aren't intentionally meaning to do, yet they're doing it outside of their conscious awareness. If you think about any relationship you have, you're probably going to have problems with that person from time to time because you're going to do something that they're not going to like. And in most cases, you're not intentionally trying to make them upset, yet you still do it because you're not aware that you're doing something that's bothering them.
These subtle messages are usually understood quite clearly by the recipient, even though the other person may be unaware of the effects of their comments. Yet some are more blatant than others. Microaggressions can be divided into three broad categories. The most obvious, Lopez explains, are termed microassaults.
It's very clear in most cases, it's overt. The person who's communicating it is usually aware that what they're doing is what we consider inappropriate, yet they're still doing it.
Generally, there are three contributing factors in these incidents: a sense of anonymity, a like-minded context, and a loss of control, often due to drug or alcohol use. A second type of microaggression is the microinsult.
That's in most cases not conscious. It's much more subtle and covert. Things like stereotypes that people present indirectly, subtle looks, gestures. Great examples could be if you notice a certain type of individual and all of a sudden you maybe lock your door or you clutch your stuff more tightly. So that's a microinsult because it's basically saying to that other person, I think you're a criminal. And thus, I need to protect myself.
And the third form, Lopez says, is termed micro-invalidation.
People who say that they don't see race or ethnicity, that they treat everyone the same because everyone's part of the same race, the human race, that's also micro-invalidation. That's a great example of how people with good intentions may do something that's hurtful because they're saying, well, I don't see your ethnicity. I don't see your color. You're saying to the person, part of your identity I don't even acknowledge, and that could be a very important and salient part of their identity.
These stereotyping behaviors are widely reinforced through mass media, in advertising as well as entertainment, so changing them is a challenging and gradual process. But Lopez suggests that simply recognizing microaggressions when they occur is a start.
We have to start somewhere, and the sooner we start, the sooner we can see significant changes. But if we continue to persist on the idea that we're in a post-racial society, these aren't problems anymore, these problems will continue to perpetuate, they'll continue to impact these disadvantaged groups, and it's going to cause more of a rift.
I'm Bruce Robinson for KRCB's North Bay Report.